I have a process and all set. They know us. Yeah.
Tov. We spoke last week. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam in the God of the Perplexed, says that even though there's a mitzvah, the first mitzvah of all mitzvahs is to know God. The foundation of all foundations is to know God. The purpose of man and the goal of everything is to know God. Yet God could only be known through negative cognition. We explained last week at length what that means. Yediyas Hashlila. By knowing things about God and then negating... By knowing things about God and then negating and saying that everything that I've understood is nothing compared to what he really is. We spoke about, for instance, we say the more that a person learns a subject, the more you learn math and become a genius in math, and then you say that this great, great mathematician, everything I know is nothing compared to him. So the more that you positively understand about a subject, and then you're able to compare it to somebody that's completely exalted from that, you have a greater perception of that person's exaltedness. And the Rambam says, therefore, all the things that we positively postulate about God, His wisdom, His greatness, His strength, are all ideas that we're understanding positively, but they don't describe God at all, because God doesn't have any attributes. God does not have attributes. He can't be with anything positive. We can't say anything about Him positively. We just negate whatever we could understand and say that He's exalted from that. We learned last week at length that Chassidus disagrees with the Rambam on both sides. On the one hand, when it comes to God's essence, you can't even have a negative perception, because anything you're negating, whatever you're negating from God, you're saying that all the things that are in the world and in our perception, He's above that. What you're comparing is, you're comparing the drop of light, the drop of God's light that becomes all of Seder Shtalshus, all of the worlds, compared to His infinite light, which is His infinite revelation, but not His essence. His essence is completely unknowable, not even by negative perception. So the Rambam could be talking about Hashem's infinite light, the transcendent light of Soviv Kol Alman, His transcendent light, not His essence. His essence, by His essence, we're really all equal. And on the other extreme, Chassidus says that we can know God. We can know God at the level that He contracts Himself of Mamali Kol Alman, that He contracts Himself to become, have a relationship with the world, that when the Torah, when the Bible, when the Tanakh uses positive things about God, they are true. God is good, God is strong, God is smart, God is compassionate, as He contracts Himself to relate to us. And just to quickly review the mashal, the parable again, because it's so important. If you could picture a genius professor that spends 3 hours lecturing to 2,000 students, and in those 3 hours, he reveals the deepest ideas in mathematics and philosophy and science. Imagine, so to speak, for the parable's sake, an infinite amount of wisdom. In 2 hours, he reveals an incredible amount of wisdom. Then he goes home to his four-year-old child and plays Chutes and Ladders. Or I think we said Candyland. That was Candyland in the end. He plays Candyland with his son, with his four-year-old son. So if you compare what he's saying to his four-year-old son, compare the words that he's conveying to his four-year-old son to what he was lecturing for 2 hours to the thousands of students. Compare those words to those words. When he's with his... So you can't compare the words. The amount of revelation is much more to the students. But would you say that he's less there when he's speaking to his four-year-old son? He might even be more there. So too when Hashem, when he reveals the light that becomes the world, the worlds, when He contracts Himself, He does tzimtzum and He contracts His light to bring about the worlds, there might be less revelation, but it's not less Him. It's not less Him. Then you have Hashem's infinite light, which is, so to speak, like that man when he was teaching, that when he was being a professor, that's His light that transcends the worlds. That the Rambam is right, we could only have a negative perception of that. We could feel His exaltedness. The more we learn about the world, we could then say, and that's all just a drop from the ocean compared to His infinite light. That the Rambam is right. But then, think about the person himself. Frank. Not Frank the father, Frank the teacher, just Frank. Or Bob, right? Bob himself, the essence of who he is, even if he would speak for 20 hours, for 1,000 hours, hasn't revealed the essence of who he is. That's unknowable. And so to Hashem's essence, we can't know at all. And therefore, we ended up last week, what's the Bechein, what should we then take out from that? That on one hand, we have to feel him contracting himself in every detail of the world. He's giving himself over to us. We positively understand ideas positively about him. We then come to feel his exaltedness, and then to know that really, by his essence, it's not even a feeling of exaltedness, it's just absolute nullification. That's the two extremes we have to feel vis-a-vis Hashem. Let's now read all of Rav Soloveitchik, how he says it inside. Let's read the bottom of page 11. The substance of his answer, Maimonides' answer, we're going to cover some ground today. The substance of his answer is that negative cognition does not forfeit its status as cognition. Negative cognition is a cognition. Negative cognition is a perception. You are able to feel his exaltedness. It's a form of cognition. It's a feeling of his exaltedness. However, we know that the entire phenomenon of negative cognition is only possible against a backdrop of affirmative cognition. When could you negate? Like I told you last week, the fact that Shmuel Braun says, I don't understand Einstein, doesn't tell you anything about Einstein's greatness in math. Because I don't even know how to do, I don't know high school math, I don't know what logarithms are. But if you have a positive perception and you are a genius in math, and then you say, I can't perceive Einstein, the more that you learn math and then try to read Einstein's works, then you have a perception. So negative perception is possible, but only against the backdrop of affirmative cognition. For we negate with respect to the Creator all of the attributes that we have affirmed with respect to created beings. Therefore, in order to arrive at the negation, we must engage in an act of affirmation. Again, Rav Soloveitchik in this whole chapter 3 is speaking about what? What's this whole chapter about? How religious man does not throw away his intellect. He uses his intellect as a start. Again, we spoke about that's Rav Soloveitchik Shita, that there is, you do start with perception, as opposed we learned how the mystics, how Hasidim say that you don't start with perception, you start with nullification. We're not going to get into that again. Rav Soloveitchik's the Jewish tradition for many years, for many centuries, is that we start with a perception, with a positive perception. We engage in an act of affirmation. We don't do away with intellect. And then we crown it with the transcendence, with Hashem's transcendence. The act of negation is reconstructed out of the very substance of affirmation. And what constitutes affirmative cognition, if not the cognition of the cosmos, the attributes of action? Now here I'm going to tell you what Rav Soloveitchik is going to say these next two sentences. I don't understand what he means over here. He's saying that you need an affirmative cognition, right? In order to perceive God's greatness, which again, Rav Soloveitchik is saying, the Rambam is saying, we could perceive God by negating from him. Again, putting on the side what we discussed last week, as I just said, that Chassidus says that his essence is not even perceived by negating. But let's put that on the side for a second. But he's saying that in order to perceive Hashem's greatness, to have that feeling of wow, that awe of his exaltedness, you have to have affirmative cognition, and then say that he transcends that, right? So Rav Soloveitchik says, the act of negation is reconstructed out of the very substance of affirmation, and what constitutes affirmative cognition? If not the cognition of the cosmos, the attributes of action. That I understand. What does it mean? So what are we perceiving? The cosmos, the world, creation, attributes of action, the way God manifests, the world, his created world, right? But what does he mean in the next sentence? Moses prayed that these attributes be communicated to him, and his petition was granted. Which attributes did Moses pray that should be revealed to him? Moses prayed that these attributes be communicated to him and his petition was granted. And remember when Moshe was davening that Hashem's attributes be revealed to him? You're giving me the Serachimim, right? You're giving me the Serachimim are not the cosmos. You're giving me the Serachimim, right, are not the attributes of action. Again, it's Rav Soloveitchik knew the most basic ideas of Kabbalah, the most basic ideas of mysticism Rav Soloveitchik knew. It's not like the portion of Chassidus. You're going to meet the Serachimim are Keser. You're going to meet the Serachimim transcend reality. They're not attributes of action. Even at the most basic level, what was Hashem's response to Moshe? He revealed that you're going to meet this, and he said, and the Gemara says that Hashem says, I'm not revealing to you, right? That's what the Gemara in Bracha says. Hashem revealed you're going to meet the Serachimim. And he said, I don't reveal who I to whom I have mercy. My attributes of mercy, knows even on the simplest level, Hashem's attributes of mercy are unfathomable, right? And the most simplest level, the most simplest anyone ever learned Torah Devora, right? Torah Devora, which is a very basic book, most beautiful, one of the most beautiful books of Musar. I don't know why, for some reason, it's not. It didn't make it as much as some of the other Torah of Musar. It's absolutely astounding from a Moshe from the Ramak, a Moshe Kar Devora. And Batsim, what the whole term of Devorah is to show you how the Yigam meets the 13 attributes of mercy, how we're supposed to act according to those attributes of mercy. Now, if you read some of those attributes of mercy, you see that they're not within the realm of regular human existence. I mean, you have to become at some level beyond what regular humanity is considered. I'll tell you, there's a sefer. An idea that it's a beautiful idea, so I'm going to share it with you. I heard in yeshiva. So Rav Shach has a beautiful vart that he writes that I heard in yeshiva, and it stuck with me. He says a beautiful thing. He says that one of the proofs for Torah min haShamayim. He says what are one of the proofs that he says for Torah min haShamayim? He has a lot of different proofs of Torah min haShamayim. He says, one of the proofs of Torah min haShamayim are those things that the Torah demands from humanity. The things that the Torah demands from humanity are completely unreasonable if you speak in regular human terminology. When the Torah was speaking, the Torah was given, if you think about what was going on in society and the cultures around the world at the time, and then you look at what the Torah was demanding of humanity, it shows you that this was not human beings talking over here. He gave an example, Rav Shach gave an example, of the din that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Loi tetoiv mitzri, dor shlishi avoyahena. You should not turn away the Egyptian. If an Egyptian wants to marry and to convert and marry into the Jewish people, three generations, whatever, lichnas bakol, you have to let them convert and you have to let them marry into the Jewish people. Loi tetoiv mitzri, don't turn away the Egyptians. We're talking about second-generation survivors. It's almost as if like the Torah would say, if any former Nazis, you know, imagine that, you know, God would have come after Auschwitz a couple years later after Auschwitz and say, if any former Nazis, if any, you know, any people that Simon Wiesenthal is hunting down, if they want to convert, you know, give them shishi. Give them maftir. You can all imagine the people like, Leiti Toiv Mitzri, are you crazy? Yemach Shmam, they gave a spit. And Hashem says, no, Leiti Toiv Mitzri. It's almost as if we're being asked to surmount what humanity is capable of. And if you learn Torah Devora, that's what's going on over there. I'll give an example. What's in Torah Devora? It's one of the things, Torah Devora speaks about the fact that Hashem is a Melech Oluv, a despised, not despised, Oluv is a Nebuch, a Mizerab, a Nebuch, yeah? A miserable king. An Oluv, he's a Nebuch king. Why is he a Nebuch king? Because, says the Ramak, based in the Zohar, you realize Hashem is pumping vitality into every single person, every single moment, right? Think about the fact that as we're doing an Aveira, as we're spitting at him in the face, he's pumping vitality into us every single moment. The vast majority of humanity that doesn't recognize him, and au contraire, they're doing the opposite, he's pumping vitality into them every single moment. Imagine giving somebody money that they should like run a smear campaign against you. And you're like giving them money. So Hashem is a Melech Oluf. So says the Ramak, so too we're asked to emulate God, and we should act in such a way that when people insult us and make fun of us and downtrod us and oppress us and whatever, we should continue not just to smile at them, but like to support them, to help them. That's not human. It's not humanly possible. I remember once I was teaching a class a couple of years ago, speaking about different ideas, whatever, that were asked, Shavis Hashem Negdi Tomit. I remember one girl picked up her hand and she said, you know, Rabbi, what you're saying is impossible. We're only human. So I said to her, well, then you never opened the Tanya. You never opened up the second chapter of Tanya. We're not only human. We have a part of God inside of us. So, you know, you give a sign, you're like, okay, but we're still only human. And the tzaddikim was saying, no, you're not. You're not only human, you're superhuman. In other words, and that's what Rav Shach is saying, that it's a proof of Torah min haShamayim, because back then, who else spoke in such a language? Who else? Don't forget, all of what today has been understood to have become the bedrock of civilization, Judeo-Christian values, right? Like Dennis Prager likes to speak about. Judeo-Christian values, the bedrock of civilization, right? And today has become all of ethics and all of humanity. It all began with Torah. The pagan nations didn't have that. All of the, however you're going to explain the ethics that today is considered morality, whatever, which at some level, no matter what system, is somehow going against your nature for the other, sacrificing for the other, being tolerant of the other. All these things that today we consider to be aleph beis of humanity come from Torah. And that's min ha-shamayim. And comes Torah and demands all these things from human beings that mamash are against their nature, that it doesn't seem to make sense how Torah could demand such a thing. So that's a proof of Torah min ha-shamayim. And the ultimate proof and the ultimate example of that is the Yud Gimel Midah, Hashem's Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim. His 13 attributes of mercy. And therefore, the Gemara says in Brachos that when Moshe davened to know God's ways, what was he asking to see? Not what the Rav says, the cognition of the cosmos, the attributes of action. He was specifically trying to fathom how could the Eibishter have such rachmanis? How could he always be so compassionate and merciful? Now again, we very often... Let's talk openly. As human beings, we very openly are breges with God, right? We very often have questions on Hashem, right? And we have like a whole, you know, list of complaints and how could Hashem do this and how could Hashem do that and how could Hashem do that? And I'm not belittling that. We all have our tzaras, we all have our pekalach, and we all have questions that we don't understand. But those moments of lucidity when we're able to be objective, at the end of the day, Hashem does more good than he does, obviously, a lot more good than he does bad. Remember, I heard once a story of a young woman. I don't remember where I saw this, but it was in one of these, you'll forgive me for using the term, but I don't have a better way of saying, one of these feel-good books from Art Scroll. You know what I'm saying, the feel book, the anecdote, the feel book goods from Art Scroll. In Judaica Plus, they don't have that genre yet, feel-good books. You have different nicer terms to use, but you know what I mean. But they said a story with a young woman who it's a true story. If I'm not mistaken, she's from Flatbush, a young woman in her 20s, that her third or fourth child was born with a very serious handicap for life. And they came in and she was completely like calm. And you know the people coming and with a pashtus, simply she said, "This time Hashem didn't do a miracle. This time Hashem didn't do a miracle. The other kids were, healthy child children, a miracle. This time Hashem didn't do a miracle." The chiddush isn't that she said it, everywhere, from all religious, at one point we'll say it like begrudgingly, okay, whatever. She said it like with a simplicity, right? And the truth is, we have a lot of times, we have a hard time saying Hashem does this, we have all sorts of questions. But the truth is that the good Hashem does, obviously, if you think about that, every breath we take and every bite of food we take, every time, I always say, Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, the Mashgich from Mir, he said that if a person would know, and this was, I guess, he never studied biology in depth, but Rabbi Yochum said, I guess he must have went through a couple of pages or something in whatever Russian Reader's Digest was available back then. But he said that if anyone ever studied what happens when you go to the bathroom, you would send a telegram home after every time saying that, thank God I'm okay. I made it out okay. You just think about all the different, liquids, like where they go and what goes what, and if one thing goes in the wrong place. Think about it, you would send a telegram that I'm okay. So every moment Hashem is doing all these great things. So the attributes, so when Moshe Rabbeinu is asking to know Hashem's ways, there's a lot of things to know when it comes to the cosmos, when it comes to action. But when you speak about Hashem's rachmanis, in other words, even according to the Gemara, what Kabbalah says, that the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim are keser, above the 10 spheres, is really the Gemara is saying the same thing. That Hashem answered Moshe, "V'chanois es asher ochein v'richamti es asher arachem." You can't understand, you can't fathom my compassion. It's impossible to fathom Hashem's compassion and how much patience he has for us. It's impossible to fathom it. So that's part of negative cognition. So I don't understand why the Rav is saying, when he's speaking about the attributes of action, positive, affirmative cognition, the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim are not affirmative cognition. Yidu midas rachamim are alpi Kabbalah, according to Kabbalah, are keser. And as I'm saying, even according to the Gemara and according to Musar, they are not things that can be comprehended. We can't comprehend Hashem's attributes of mercy. It's impossible to comprehend. Again, if Rav Shach is saying that a human being can come to such attributes of action, to attributes of mercy, that it's a proof of termina shemaim, kavachayim when it comes to Hashem's attributes of mercy, that they're impossible to comprehend. So I'm not sure why the Rav says it over here. Pashat tzarchin. I don't understand why. Let's go by. Indeed, we are all commanded to occupy ourselves with the understanding and depth of these attributes, for they bring us to the love and fear of God, as Maimonides explains in the laws of the foundations of the Torah. What's he referring to over here? We are all commanded to occupy ourselves with the understanding and depth of these attributes. We have to understand in depth the cosmos, Hashem's attributes, for they bring us to the love and fear of God, as Maimonides explains in the laws of the foundations of the Torah. Everyone knows what he means, right?
No.
What?
Didn't you just say we can't understand these things?
Which things?
Which attributes are we referring to in this sense?
He's talking about the positive attributes. He's talking about the positive attributes of Hashem. The positive attributes in the cosmos, attributes of action.
The physical world,
the physical kind, and that's what the Rambam's talking about over there. The Rambam is speaking about over here, Hilchos Yisoid Yatar Perek Beis. You see in parentheses, it says chapter 2, halacha 2. And here I must make a commercial break. A word from our sponsors. Well, our sponsor, Hashem, our sponsor. A commercial break, just, you know, only because it's a pet peeve I have that a lot of people forget about this. And if the Rav is mentioning this Rambam, you know that the Rambam is the only sefer of halacha that was written, that was codified by the Rambam, that has in it, as the Rambam testifies, kol haTorah kula. The entire Torah Shebaal Peh. Meaning, even what's not relevant halacha l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch is only a book of halachas that are negei l'maisa, that are relevant halachically applicable today, until the next few moments some Mashiach comes. The Rambam was the only sefer that he wrote the entire oral tradition, all the mitzvahs, everything. The Rambam said, in fact, the Rambam writes in his introduction, it's one of the hard things to understand. You know what the Rambam writes in introduction? It's one of those things that, you know, I remember a friend of mine in yeshiva, he's like, what was he smoking when he wrote that? But, you know, we would chas v'shalom say such a thing, but my friend said it, so I'm just saying it over from him. But the Rambam writes in the introduction, one of the hardest things to understand, the Rambam writes over there, that after I wrote this book, you just need two things, Tanakh and my Sefer. Right? That's what the Rambam says. You finish reading Tanakh, then you read my Sefer, and that's it. You know the entire Torah. You're finished. You're done. How we understand that? Tzarechin Gadol. It's like Reb Chaim Brisker said, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, that the hardest Rambam to understand, the Gantz Rambam, the shverest Rambam, the one that bothered him the most, that made him lose, that he pusha can't figure out more than any other Rambam, is that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Deis that you need 8 hours of sleep a night. He said, Rav Chaim Brisker said, that's the hardest, the most shver Rambam. You need 8 hours of sleep a night. He says, that's the Rambam he can't understand. So this is probably number two, where the Rambam says, you know, you have Tanakh and my Sefer, and that's it. But the truth is, the Rambam says it, so of course we believe it's emes. I mean, we happen to open up above Metzi anyway, for whatever reason, we're not going to get into it, but it's called Torah Kula. Now, if the Rambam is codifying the entire Torah, that means that we have to understand, and the Rambam is doing it in a very methodical, systematic way, then when the Rambam is putting things in a certain distinct order, he means it. Ermeitas takam et emes. He means it. He's not like being tongue-in-cheek, right? So you have the Rambam saying you have Tanakh, and then my Sefer, and this is Torah Shebaal Peh, and he has the first halachas called Hilchos Yesoidei HaTorah, the foundations of Torah. And that means before he gets to the laws of Bab Metzia and the laws of Tefillin and the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Gittin and Kiddushin and Tzitzis and anything else, before anything else, the laws are the foundations of the Torah. I challenge every Jew to make sure that you know clearly what the Rambam is saying in those chapters. Right? Because if the Rambam is saying that those are Yesoidei HaTorah, they're the foundations of Torah, you would imagine that you should probably be familiar with what they're talking about, right? Now, what are the subject of those first chapters? Emunah, Achdus Hashem, Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem. Faith in God, God's unity, love of God, fear of God. And the two, and at least one of the, Leisa say, but the five out of the six mitzvahs tmidis, right? The Rambam, everyone knows that the Chinuch also writes, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, the Bir Halacha brings it in the very beginning of Mishnah Berurah, that there are sheish mitzvahs tmidis, six constant mitzvahs. There are six constant mitzvahs that we're obligated in. Six mitzvahs deraisa. It's very interesting, you know, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Sefer Mitzvahs HaKotzer, right? The concise book of mitzvahs, where he writes, out of the 613, which are relevant today, Bizman Hazeh, for the next moment some Mashiach comes. How many are there? Anyone know? How many mitzvahs out of the 613 are relevant Bizman Hazeh until Beis Hamikdash comes? 270. The Remez is Ani Yeshena Velibi Er. I'm asleep in Golus, yet my heart is awake. And the word Er is Gematria 270. That's the 270 mitzvahs that are applicable Bizman Hazeh. Now, even out of those 270 that are Nageh Bizman Hazeh, we can't always be doing all of them. Some of them are only relevant on the 15th of Nisan, eating matzah. Eating in a sukkah is only on the 15th of Tishrei. Right? Hearing a shofar is only Rosh Hashanah. Some are only to men, some are only to women, some are only to kahanim. Right? There are different mitzvahs, and not all of them are relevant to everyone at all time. They depend on time and space. But says the Chinuch, there are six mitzvahs deraisa. Six constant mitzvahs that a Jew is chayv every single moment to be having in mind. Faith in God, unity of God, love of God, fear of God, not to believe in any power, lo yelech alekim acherim, the opposite of God's unity, and leis asurach elev avcham acherei neichem, not to be looking and thinking about things that one is not supposed to. I actually saw a beautiful meditation from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, who signed his own Kabbalist. It's a very interesting book called Living in Divine Space. Which is a whole book based on these six mitzvahs. And he has a very interesting meditation where he speaks about, this is Rav Ginsburg's Derech, where he speaks about almost as if like you're picturing the six mitzvahs as if you're living in a cubicle of the six mitzvahs. It's a very nice thing to have in mind. He says you're supposed to picture above you the mitzvah of Emunah, and in front of you God's unity, to see His unity in everything. On your right, love of God. On your left, fear of God. Under you, not to believe in any other power other than God, and in back of you to throw behind you, not to stray after one's eyes and mind, and to have in mind that you're living within that space of these six mitzvahs. Which, by the way, the Chinuch says that what's the remez of these six mitzvahs is the sheish. No, any what's the remez? But what's the remez? Sheish are miklat. No, but the remez of that these six mitzvahs, the Chinuch says the remez is the sheish are miklat. What are the six? What are the cities of refuge? What is the Ir Miklat? The Ir Miklat are cities that you're supposed to run to. When the Goel Adam, when you're being chased, somebody wants running after to kill you. Right? You run into an Ir Miklat, somebody's running after to kill you. Now, Lachar affects a Chashayla, nobody's running after me to kill me. What was this, Friday the 13th? Naimer Elm Street. Nobody's running after me to kill me. So for that, there's a famous, they say, from the Rebbe Bunim from Peshischa. Right? The Rebbe Bunim Peshischa said like this. Rebbe Bunim, Simcha Bunim Peshischa said that one always has to see, this is pretty freaky image, it's like worse than Freddy Krueger, but he said one always has to see the Yetzirah like a murderer standing over you with an axe that he wants to chop your head off. One always has to have in mind, always have this awareness that there's a murderer about with an axe, he wants to chop your head off. So they asked the Rebbe Bunim, they said, what if I don't have that in mind? What if I don't have that awareness? So he says it's a sign that he chopped your head off already. It means that that's, you're finished. It's done, right? So we always have the Yetzirah Sefer Rosh LaTzadikah Mevakish LaHamisay, right? We're being chased after all the time. So says the Chinuch, the Sheish Ari Miklat. There's the six cities of refuge. These are the six constant mitzvahs. We mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Remember, we spoke about Rabbi Munasecha, the Meister of Chatzkel Abramsky. I'm not going to say it over again. But the Rabbi Munasecha, that a Jew, you don't have to actually be doing things with your hands or with your mouth to be serving God. You live with these six mitzvahs. Those are the Sheishar and Miklat. And the Rambam is a codifier, and he begins Mishnah Torah with these four mitzvahs. And the Rambam says, in what the Rav is referring to, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, how the Rambam asks, what is the derech to come to Ava and Yira? Now the Rambam was Rishon. We know every word of the Rambam is gold. The Rambam has said, "Ketzidi aderech lavosiv yirasei." What's connoted? What's the connotation of those words? That one needs a derech. One needs to be on a path. It's a derech. The Rambam doesn't say "Ketzidi aderech" to put on tefillin. "Ketzidi aderech" to eat matzah. He just says eat matzah. Av and Yira need to be nurtured and developed. Chovei HaLevavos writes the same thing. To be able to develop an inner feeling, right? It's obviously that loving God is not just shuckling. Fearing Hashem is not making a sour face when saying the Shema. Coming to emotions is something that we have to develop. It's an inner feeling to really have a love of God. It's something that one has to have a derech, to have a path to get to. And says the Rambam, what is the derech? How do I come to develop emotions for God? The next two words of the Rambam, Bishoshi is boinin. One needs to meditate. One needs to contemplate God. One needs to contemplate God. And then the Rambam spends three full chapters, what? Explaining nature, explaining how the world, different the way the world, what to meditate on nature, what to meditate on the planets, what to meditate on the stars and on angels. Meditating the cosmos. Affirmative cognition. In other words, in very simple English, when you're walking down the street and you're seeing the beauty of the world, the grandeur of the world, and I believe the grandeur of the world, I don't just mean when you go on a vacation and you see a beautiful scene from your window, which is definitely true. But when you're walking down the street and you see the world around you, you now have a positive mitzvah to be meditating that this is Hashem's action, that this is Hashem's contraction, this is His light manifesting. This is Him touching you on the face and seeing the beauty in the world, and that develops this feeling of relationship with Hashem. That's what the Rav says. We are all commanded to occupy ourselves with understanding and depth of these attributes, for they bring us to the love and fear of God, as Maimonides explains in Laws of the Foundations of the Torah. And he explains, first, we cognize in positive categories God's great and exalted world. The great and exalted world. To familiarize yourself with the great and exalted world. To see the beauty in the world. And afterward, we negate the attribute of created beings from the Creator. Then you could say, after you've had a perception of the beauty of the world, you've seen the grandeur of the world. You've seen the beauty of the world. And again, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant thing. You are aware of the wonder of the world. And then you say, and all of this is one drop from the ocean. And the more that you perceive the beauty of the world, the more that you're able to see the beauty of the world, then you could say, and all of this is a drop from the ocean. I'll share with you just an idea. Thought of an idea a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's true or not, but it says in Chazal say, "Hoylech b'derech umafana libe milimud mafsik b'limudei v'oymer mano ilan ze reizem eschayv benafshei." Right, a mafsik b'limudei v'oymer mano ilan ze reizem eschayv benafshei. Which pasuk shah means you're in the middle of learning Torah, and you stop. And you see a beautiful tree, and you stop in the middle of learning Torah, and you say, "Mano ilan ze, what a beautiful tree." You have to be killed. So I once thought many years ago, I don't know if it's true, but the idea of the is true, I don't know. But I thought pshat is like this. You're learning, and you already saw the beauty of a tree. You had a positive perception, an affirmative cognition of the world. Now, harizim is chayv benafsha. Now you're chayv to give your nefesh to Hashem. Now you're chayv to serve Hashem with your nefesh. Now you're chayv to actually serve Hashem with your soul, because you've already seen manayil and zeh. You've had a perception of the beauty of the world. Harizim is chayv benafsha. Now you have to make sure that you give Hashem when you daven. It has to be with your whole nefesh, with your whole soul. This solution accords well with the ontological approach of the man of God. Cognition for the sake of grasping the eternal riddle. Again, you cognize and then you come to the riddle. Revealing for the sake of concealing. You remember the mushel with the princess in the tower. Comprehending for the sake of laying bare the incomprehensible in all its glorious mystery and terror. The negative theology constitutes the great ideal of homo religiosus. The negative theology is his ideal of religious man. It is the telos, meaning the purpose, of his noetic process, of the process of his mind. The purpose of it, the telos of it, is to come to the negative cognition, which will never and can never be entirely realized. And the end point of his knowledge, the cognition of the riddle without end, through affirmative cognition. It is for the purpose of the unending realization of this idea that homo religiosus has been commanded to engage profoundly in rendering an account of the world. Yes, religious man has been commanded to engage an account of the world, the din v'cheshbon of the world. We've been commanded to have a perception of the world, to occupy himself with ma'isa bracious and ma'isa merkava, to occupy himself with natural science and divine science. And this cognition is eternally affirmative and not negative. To be sure, negation is always distantly visible as the goal and final aim of knowledge. In other words, the Rav is saying that even when religious man does embark on affirmative cognition, it's not entirely affirmative. Why? What's he bavarning? He's saying that negation is always distantly visible as the goal and final aim of knowledge. The Rav Soloveitcher is saying that even for religious men, even when he is affirmative, when he is using his mind, it's not entirely affirmative. Why not? Because he knows in the end he's going to negate. He knows already that at the end of the tunnel, he knows that whatever he's going to learn, I'm not going to get anywhere. Right? You know I'm not going to get anywhere. We all know that one of the most frustrating things, you know, when you start, you know, you sit with a blot Gemara, the most frustrating thing is the feeling that, what am I going to get? How far am I going to get? Right? I know I'm never going to get everything. I always say it's Leneged Einai all the time. It's a beautiful idea that the Ramban writes. The Ramban writes in his introduction to Chumash, which the Ramban wrote towards the end of his life. The Ramban writes in his Akdamah to Chumash, he says like this, that towards now, Le'ezik Nusi, now that I'm older, I now feel that my mind in the palace of Torah is like the egg of a flea in the palace of a king. That's the Ramban talking. My mind in the palace of Torah is like the egg of a flea in the palace of a king. So where does that leave us? It's pretty, I wouldn't use the word pathetic, I'd use more the word humbling. It's a very humbling thing. It's like, what's the purpose? I know I'm never going to get anywhere. But that's a wrong attitude. What is the attitude? The attitude is like Reb Tarfon already said. Nobody's asking you to finish. Everyone's asking you just to give your maximum. Give your maximum. That's all. Give Hashem your maximum. Not finish, but as much as you can. Right? So therefore, when it comes to having a cognition of God, the Rav Soloveitchik is saying that religious man knows that negation is always distantly visible as the goal and final aim of knowledge. So seemingly, it's not pure knowledge. It's not that. Seemingly, you would say that religious man, when he's using his mind, it's not as affirmative. It's not with as much positive feeling as secular man. Lachari, you would say that, right?
Why is he calling it the goal? It's not the goal.
No, so that we spoke about on page 11, he was speaking about when he spoke after he got into the whole thing with Eve. He said at the end of the first paragraph on page 11, he says, on the contrary, the riddle adorns and embellishes cognition, bestowing upon it the splendor of eternity. He did say, that is what the Rav is saying, that is the goal. The goal is to come to the affirmative, the negative perception. That's what the Rambam is saying. To know God, you could only, by affirming and then negating. So that is the goal. The goal is to be able, whatever I'm going to know, the more I know, it's going to be able to say, und das alles ist garnished. I didn't even start. So it is the goal. It is what bestows upon it the splendor of eternity. That's what the Rebbe is saying on page 10 and 11. It is what's going to make religious man knows that what's going to give my mind godliness is when I'm able to then perceive the mystery that transcends it. So seemingly what the Rebbe is saying over here, therefore it comes out that it's not real knowledge. It's not knowledge like a secular person. Because why? Because the visible goal is always going to be that negative perception. Says the Rebbe, no, that's not true. However, the process of cognition itself from its beginning until its end takes on shape in a whirl of colors against an affirmative backdrop. No, it is always going to be with all the colors of affirmation. Negation is only the actualization of the cognitive process and the realization of the act of affirmative cognition in its fullness. Let's just read to the bottom. The old familiar proverb of negative theology, the goal of knowledge is to not know, Yitach Zedir Shalei Neda, refers, as is clear from the proverb itself, only to the goal and the aim, not to the process of cognition. The Rav is saying an unbelievable thing. Pum Faker, the opposite. The Rav is saying, it's such a beautiful idea. He's saying the opposite. If you are a really religious person, and you want to come to what Rav, the Rambam, says is a perception of God, which again, according to Chassidus, is only Sov of Kalaman, but that's also pretty good, right? To have a perception of His infinite light. And that is your goal. Your goal is to have a feeling of God's exaltedness, which is not His essence, but it's His infinite light. And that's a good Shemayna Esrei too. That is my goal. So the Rav says, Faker, the opposite. You know that the process of cognition has to be that much more meaningful. Because only by using my mind to the fullest will I be able to really have the perception of Hashem's greatness. It's not the fact that at the end I'm going to negate my mind and I'm going to say, Undos alzes garnish, that everything I had until now, this is nothing, this is only a drop from the ocean of what God is. That doesn't lessen the value of the process of cognition. The opposite. It gives it more value. Because I know that I have to use it to its fullest, because only then will I be able to look at God in the face. Only then will I be able to taste infinity. Let's read it again what he says. However, it's true that to be sure, negation is distantly visible as the goal and final aim of knowledge. That's true. That's what my goal is. However, the process of cognition itself from its beginning until its end meaning when you come to that negation, takes on shape in a whirl of colors against an affirmative backdrop. Negation is only the actualization of the cognitive process. You're right, that is its actualization. That's what gives it the crown of eternity, that splendor. And the realization of the act of affirmative cognition in its fullness, when you're able to negate afterwards. But that's only going to be the goal. But the old familiar proverb of negative theology, Tachas Yadir Shalei Neida, the goal of knowledge is to know not, refers, as is clear from the proverb itself, only to the goal and the aim, not to the process of cognition. In other words, Tachas Yadir, the goal of knowledge, Shalei Neida, the goal of knowledge is to know not, but that's the goal of knowledge. The goal of knowledge means to use knowledge as much as I can. And the opposite, I have even more of a motivation to use it more as much as I can. Because I know that what's the tachlis of this idea? What's the tachlis of this idea? That I could come and say, oh, shalei neida. And Hashem is even more than that. So that light at the end of the tunnel of negative theology, that negation, that motivates religious men even more to use knowledge to the fullest. To use knowledge to the fullest. And I don't have to tell you, we all know it. From scientists are not scared. They're not scared to penetrate the cosmos. The opposite. They're not scared. Because when you have that emunah and you know you have that emunah in Hashem, the more you use knowledge, the more that you see His greatness. And the more you negate and say, and He's all beyond that. It's almost comical that all the things, we've spoken about this before, but all the things that the scientists are revealing more and more again, which they want to use to say that now I know I don't need Hashem, now I know I don't need a God. The more that a person that's a religious person learns these things, the more it becomes obvious that there's something that's created, that are bringing all these rules into existence, as we spoke about. So it is that negation at the end which makes that world of colors and the cognition so meaningful. The knowledge of God, says the Rebbe, let's finish the chapter. The knowledge of God, which leads to love and fear, concerning which we were commanded in the laws of the foundations of the Torah, is the cognition of the attributes of action, the cosmos, and this cognition is entirely affirmative. One more thing I want to add here before we start the next chapter. And this I just need to make something clear, which I mentioned last week, but I want to, it's clear over here. When the Rav keeps speaking about positive, affirmative cognition, when the Rambam speaks about it, what does the Rambam talk about? What does the Rav, when he speaks about to have cognition of the cosmos, what does he mean to say? What are you thinking about? Creation, the world, the greatness of the world, right? The Hayden Planetarium. Planets and the greatness and the details of reality. So when the way the Rav is speaking over you and the way that the Rambam says it is that you are thinking about the world, the created world, right? So a certain thing hit me, you know, you could learn certain things, but then, you know, it happens all of a sudden, you have that perception. I was once driving in Yerushalayim, they have in Israel, they have the, what do you call it, Trumpistim, you know, people that want to get rides, you know, the hitchhikers. So driving in Yerushalayim, and there was a young boy, must have been, I don't know, 15, 16, you know, a mitnachel, you could see, with a knitted yarmulke, with the payas, you know that. So I stopped my car, and I gave him a ride, and I asked him, you know, we started talking. And, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, within 5 minutes of the car ride, you almost know each other's social security numbers and whatever. So I asked him, what are you doing? So he says he's in college. I said, how old are you? He said, 16. I said, you're in college. What about yeshiva? We'll pick a from guy. He's like, I'm studying science. What about yeshiva? So he says, I'm doing like the Rambam says. I want to have Avos Hashem. So I went to college to study science. Okay. Now I thought to myself, if you go on paper in black and white, he's right. Right? According to Rambam, Lachari is right. And you would imagine, if you read the Rambam seems to say, B'shoshi is bainin, as I mentioned before, how do you come to love and fear? B'shoshi is bainin, what are you misbainin in? You're misbainin in Maisev Bruv and Ifloim, Hashem's great creation. You would imagine that scientists that spend their whole life, all day, studying the world, I mean, according to the Rambam, they should be rolling around all day saying Nishmas. Right? They should be singing Song of Dveikus. Like, you should be walking into, like, Bar Ilan University. Okay, you want to say there are people that are atheists that don't believe in God. But let's say people that are from, they believe in God. So, you should walk into a university, into a science classroom, and people should be rolling on the floor and singing Kalechsev, right? It should be like Shalosh Shudas. I mean, they're doing what the Rambam says. They're studying creation. And I also, you know, I've seen before these svarim that the Sefer is called... Scientists. Huh?
Do you hang out with scientists?
Well, are they rolling around singing Mishmas?
No, they won't do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't hang out with them, you know, even though, you know, it's some of my best friends are scientists. No, I don't hang out with them at all. I told you I'm a humanities person. I don't do science and math. But I know that they're not rolling around singing Mishmas. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm asking. L'chayr, according to the Rambam, that the B'shoshis bein adam, the way to come to Avir is by meditating on creation, or like the 16-year-old boy was saying, if you study science, you should be rolling around, you should be singing Dveikus. You should be pushed, you know, on love with Avos Hashem. But that's why I said to you, even from scientists, I'm not talking about atheists. Let's talk about a frum person that has a Torah foundation, that's a frum yid, and he's now goes to college and he studies science. He's now going to come to greater Avos Hashem. Do we see that's what happens? Very simple question, very poshut. According to the Rambam, says the way to come to Avos Hashem is studying the world, studying science. That's what hit me when the 16-year-old said it. L'chari, he's right. L'chari, according to the Rambam, you should go study science and you should be rolling around singing Nishmas. But that doesn't happen. Like, I remember seeing a book, one of these svarim, Marabu Masech Hashem, you know, in Yerushalayim, everything has to be, I don't want to say whitewashed, but whitewashed. And it was essentially like a set of, like, National Geographic. It was essentially just books of, like, you know, elephants and rhinoceroses and stuff, right? And the wonder of, you know, the ostrich's, you know, digestive system. And it was a whole set of National Geographic, and the cover was Marabu Masech Hashem, And if that wasn't enough, they had the Rambam. The Rambam's quote on every cover. And therefore I could see, spend, 20 pages. Therefore in Yerushalayim it becomes mutter to teach me about the elephant's digestive system because the Rambam says, right? Because in Yerushalayim you can't just, have a book about wildlife. So it has to have the shtempel of the Rambam. But the question is, I looked through the book. I can't say that I read all the details. Adir Mazah, I don't know the different, parts of the elephant, even though I looked through it. I didn't feel that I had any great buildup of Avas Hashem. It didn't happen. And L'chor the Rambam is saying, you study the world. So it's very important to explain. The way that the Chassidish Sfarim say is that Ava comes, Avas Olam, the lower level of Ava, because there are higher levels of Ava. We're talking about the lower levels of Ava. What's called Avas Olam. The Chassidish Sfarim, the Tzaddikim explained that Avas Hashem comes from his Zboinonus and Memale Kol Alman, which we mentioned last week. You're meditating on the light of God. When you meditate, that the world is the light of Hashem. That doesn't mean to have in the back of your mind an awareness that God created the world and then be looking and spending the time studying science. That's not going to bring to Avas Hashem. It's not going to bring to Avas Hashem that I know that God created the world. Now I could focus and study an elephant's bladder. The elephant's bladder is not going to bring me to Avas Hashem. More than that. I'll tell you more than that. Even more than that. Let's say there's, a certain bakery that you absolutely love their danishes or the rugelach. You pasha love the rugelach. The best rugelach you've ever had. Huh? Naira? You say magadlu. Magadlu, yeah, arugula, yeah. So you have a bakery, everyone has their favorite baker, that this is the best rugula in the world. The best kokosh cake, unbelievable. And you push it, you love that rugula, you love this kokosh cake, it's the best you've ever had. Let me ask you, will you ever come to love the baker? Will you ever feel love for this baker that made you the arugula? Even if you're really Hungarian, right? You're really into your food, like really big time, and push it, you mamish. You're never going to come to love the baker.
Love who made the baker.
You're not going to love the baker.
After he dies.
You say hesped, then you'll miss him. But it's not pshat that you love him. You don't love the baker. You might love the arugula. You don't love the baker. If you love what he does, but not him. If a person comes to appreciate the world, and you look at the world, you see the world as something that God made. You just see the world as something that God made that's separate from him. Even if you, not just maimin b'munah shleima, you mamish know and it's clear to you that God made the world. It's not going to make you love God. If you see the world as something that God made, as much as you appreciate Him, it's not going to make you, it might make you appreciate God, be thankful. I'll tell you even more than that. Forget the arugula. I'll tell you a very extreme example. I didn't mean really forget the arugula. I mean just for now, right? I'll give you an even more extreme example, okay? A doctor saved your child's life. A doctor saved your child's life. You will appreciate the doctor. You'll feel feelings of recognition to the doctor. You might even say, I love you. But to say that you're living your life with a constant feeling of ahava to the doctor. You appreciate him. You want to give him gifts. You put his picture in your house. But it's not, you love your child. And therefore you appreciate what the doctor did for you. But you don't have a state of love. You're not going to say tzomalach hanafshi to the doctor. You're not going to say, "Masay ave ve'ira p'nei Dr. Goldberg." It's not an ava. It's a recognition. It's an appreciation. It's not a love. You could only love somebody that you experience that person. And that person you experience. Therefore, you love them. Therefore, as much as you could believe, if you just believe that God created the world, created your children, created everything that you experience. It'll bring recognition, it'll bring appreciation, it'll bring a lot of feelings, reverence, awe, not ahava, not choylas ahava oni, not rolling around singing nishmas, not singing a song of dveikus. What the tzaddikim taught is, but when you're mizbayin, when you meditate in memale kol almin, that the world is the light of Hashem. It's not just something that God created. It's Him that you're feeling. It's His hand that's stroking your face as the wind is blowing your face. It's His face that you should see when you're looking at the sunset. Not His essence, but it's Him. It's His light. It's not just something He made. It's not arugula. Your children are the light of Hashem. That's what it means that you meditate on Mamali Kolam, and you meditate that everything is a lukus, that it's the light of Hashem, it's Him Himself. It's a way that He's manifesting. That brings to Avas Hashem. It's not enough just to know that God created and then study the elephant's digestive system. You have to be aware and feel Him within everything. Feel Him within everything, that He's permeating, His light is permeating the reality that you experience. That brings to Avas Hashem. That's the affirmative cognition. When you have affirmative cognition, means to know, I'm affirming yet this, I could know God. I could know this aspect of Hashem's light. Not just something He made, I could know a way that He's manifesting. And therefore I could feel Him within everything I experience. Yitzhak Hashem, when Mashiach comes, we'll actually see with our physical eyes, we should merit it tonight. Next week, chapter 4, Yitzhak Hashem.
News, the scientists have discovered, and they're calling it literally like the discovery of the century, or they, with whatever their tools are now that are very deep into deep space, the essence of the theory, they say it's no longer a theory of the Big Bang. They have actually detected something that proves, as far as they're concerned, the Big Bang, the first trillionth of a second, the radiation or the something that emanated from that very first sub instant of, that shows the expansion of the universe through the Big Bang, which is like touching the finger of God. I mean, that's like really touching. This was something that I just saw yesterday I didn't understand it. I read it very quickly anyway, but even if I read it two or three times, I wouldn't understand what I was reading exactly. But it's something that they say, I don't know with what devices they've seen this, but this is now something that's going to be, I'm sure, big news in it. Very cool stuff.
The
Big Bang.
The Big Bang stuff. Yeah. The one article I read today said that there's still going to be a little amuna left at the end.
It's only amuna. Right. But I mean, again, the scientists are
found a little more evidence, but it's still.
Interestingly, what you asked about with the scientists, there aren't that many. That I don't think from scientists, but there are some number of them that have written unbelievable books about.
I know Jill Schroeder stuff.
They may well really love God. They may be singing this West. Those few two or three.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that the higher you would think.
But the guys and the non-firm are not, because they don't have. At 16 years old, you're not prepared to go out and study Rambam as the vehicle to get. You have to have the foundation of the Torah first. Right. Then that'll allow you to appreciate the science in the right context. I think. Maybe the Rambam's mind was able to do it at 16.
I think even if you have the foundation of Torah, but there's not the constant perception of world
Your point was unbelievable. I think your point is absolutely unbelievable. But still, they don't even feel the appreciation of God.
You know,
properly.
I'll give you an example. You know how Chassidim said had a big taina. Chassid Rabbeinu Yoina says it. That harbi lomdu Torah v'shachu ad neisen atayr. Right? So Rabbeinu Yoin. Lomdu Torah v'shachu ad neisen atayr. Rabbeinu Yoin in the Dharm, yeah? Loi berchu b'tara tchila. Right? Fekta chashayla, any of these Jews that chassidim had a taina that they learned Torah, not lashma, they don't, v'shachu ad neisen atayr. You ask them, who gave the Torah at Sinai? They're not going to say Hashem. What do you mean v'shachu ad neisen atayr? The answer is, one could learn Gemara and know, at the back of your mind that God gave the Torah. But when you're learning, all you're feeling is the Gemara itself, and not that this is Hashem, not that this is Elokus. That's called Lamdu Torah V'Shachu Nais in the Torah. That's the Pshat. That's Lamdu Torah V'Shachu Nais in the Torah. I'm saying Rabbeinu Yoina says, right, in the Dharma over there, when he says, Loi Berchu B'Torah Tchila, Lamdu Torah V'Shachu Nais in the Torah. They don't know Hashem gave the Torah. You would ask them, They're learning Sukkim Bar Mitzvah. Who learned? Hashem gave the Torah. The pshat is they know that Hashem gave the Torah, but they're not aware of it as they're learning the Torah. That's the pshat.
Is it a bad thing?
That's a bad thing. Of the Aretz. I'm of the Aretz. So I'm saying the same thing with the signs. It could be you have a person that know the God. That's pretty hard.
It's
how do you learn Kabbalah?
If you know, but also, but if you know it, but if I
but Kabbalah is speaking about Hashem.
But
Kabbalah is speaking about
so is chemistry and physics.
Yeah, there are people who learn
intellectually. In the chemistry and the physics.
So you Kabbalah, you feel Torah. If you've accepted God, if you took the leap of faith before you opened the Sefer Kabbalah, and you understood that I'm learning.
Whatever Kabbalah is talking about God,
the Kabbalah Center. It's people learn intellectually, and the person
what you said. I think what you said. You didn't go as far enough because what you said before, you could learn it and you could know it, but when you know it on an intellectual level, even while you're learning it, it's not the same as feeling it, but as experiencing it as this is this. I'm having the Vulcan mind meld with God. This is God's mind. This is a manifestation of God's mind, and I'm connecting to it, and I'm being part of God's mind. That's what it is. I think you can know it and know it on a distant level. I have it as an awareness, but that's not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I think that's it. You have to feel it.
I had a pshat also in the Mishnah. The pshat is that if a person, the Mishnah says he's learning Torah, and he's mafsik in his Torah, and he says man noyim zeh. So when a person is learning Torah, he's being oisik, perhaps in yichidei law, and he's mafsik and he's oisik in yichidei law. That's why it's the kibbutz and the nafsu, because. If he wasn't learning Torah and he took note of the tree, good.
The Baal Shem Tov says, what you're saying, the Baal Shem Tov says that if you're looking at the tree and you feel that it's a mafsik melimuda, it's mischaib. It should be a hemshach from the limud. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Ha mafsik melimuda, that you look at the tree and you think that you're mafsik in limud. If you look at the tree as a hemshach of the limud, that's what, not that you're not supposed to see the tree, but it's not supposed to be a heritage of mafsik melimuda.
Okay.
That's the Baal Shem Tov. This is like what you said.
Shmuel, doesn't Nefesh HaChaim say though that you learn, that's the difference between you learn Torah for the sake of Torah?
Okay, Vada, the sugi of Lashma is one of the main sugis. I'm not as obvious. I'm using that now as an example to say, right? I'm using that example to say that without getting into the sugi itself, but that taina that there is, that there could be such a thing as learning Torah and shachru is nice in the Torah. What do you mean shachru nice in the Torah? Well, you don't know that God gave the Torah. The pshat is you know, but that's not what you're... Right now you're focused on Gemara as Gemara. Right. You don't feel Hashem. So the same thing with science. You could be a firm person and I know God created the world. But right now I'm focusing on the elephant's digestive system. Right. I'm not focusing on Hashem. It's not going to bring me to Abbas Hashem. Right. I don't... I am not.
You freely and publicly admit you're not a scientist.
Freely, publicly, and proudly.
I'm still trying to figure out how you lasted all those years in Brisk.
Why? What does Brisk have to do with science?
Because Brisk is a more scientific model of Lima the Kaira.
I would call it philosophical.
Let me ask you a question. If you're sitting down and you're learning a Maimon of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is talking to you about God and how God relates to you and everything like that, things that I've never even looked at, okay? You're saying right here that this relates to Abba and you, okay? Now, when you learn a Hakira of Rav Chaim in a din in Baba Basra,
okay,
do you also feel that you're connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu when you learn that? Rebbe's been yelling for 20 years that a lot of us don't realize that a Nefesh is really connected to a Taisus in Baba Basra. He throws that line out every once in a while. It's almost like...
You can feel
like,
it
it's
in
like
the
I just said to you a minute before, you have to have the same hanacha and the same understanding of where you're going with it, even when you're learning Kabbalah. The Haraya, there are thousands of Nebuch people in this world studying Kabbalah who have no idea that they're connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu or how to even approach it.
I don't know. I have to say something to you. Wait, you said a lot of different things
because
now.
Because you're a humanities guy. No, that's the way you look at the world.
First of all, the people that learn Kabbalah, I know the fashionable thing is to say Kabbalah centers, Chazar, Tzeit,
whatever.
Whatever
that is, right.
I'm not so sure that people that are studying mysticism are not aware of God. I don't know why that's automatic.
Okay.
Aware of God, okay, so in sense? Your God, is like a...
I'll give you a hanukkah
what?
Here.
He's there. He made...
not aware of God.
What does that mean?
I'm not saying that they're... I'm not talking about whether they're going to get Olam Haba or not. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm saying an awareness of God. They're aware of God.
Yeah, like with God, but God is a word.
I'll give
you... God made the world, but it doesn't mean anything.
Ezra, I'm a from Yid also.
Right.
But I'm okay. I'm saying it's not, I don't understand this utter negation of what people are doing when they're studying Kabbalah. I'm not saying that they should stay with that. And I'm not saying I wish that they would do more. But to negate, completely negate and say, it has nothing to do with God. Why not?
So let me do this. God is just a word.
What do you mean it's just a word?
They don't feel Hashem, that Abbas Hashem, yours. They don't feel anything Hashem is within them.
Are you sure?
Okay.
So guys, the ones who are in Kabbalah, these centers?
Yeah. Are you sure that they have no awareness of God in their life that doesn't bring to any awareness of God? It doesn't mean they put on tefillah maybe, which is a problem, but it doesn't make them feel God at all?
So let me put it to you this way. The person who learns Kabbalah in an academic secular
fashion. I'm not giving a skamach. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. The person who learns Kabbalah, they're learning true concepts of Kabbalah, but they're learning them in a secular academic fashion. And the person who's learning Baba Basra in a secular academic fashion. I will admit to you that the person learning Kabbalah in the secular fashion has a much greater chance of getting an understanding of God learning that in a secular fashion than learning Baba Basra in a secular fashion. But that's not us.
David, I'm agreeing with you. You didn't wait to hear my answer. I feel God when I learn the Chatir Reb Chaim.
Right, I know that.
And when I learn Tizim Baba Basra. But I'm saying, but I think that comes, like, the, you know, if you look at chapter 4 of Tanya, that you're hugging the king in the garments, right? Okay. If you have that awareness, then you could have an Tizim Baba Basra. I'm not saying you can't.
Okay.
But you have to have that awareness.
If you
have an awareness that it's that this is Hashem's light, right. Not just that it's in the back of your mind that He created it. That's what I'm saying. If you know on Shavuos, you know God gave the Torah, and now you're learning Tosim Baba Basra, but you don't have that awareness, you agree with me, you're not going to come to feeling it. But if while you're learning Tosim Baba Basra and Reb Chaim, you think that this is Elokus.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that.
It's hard to remember, but you try to have
brain power to understand
these things. It's hard to have it in mind, but to have it, yeah. Right? But you could have that.
And
Abbas
you can
Hashem.
Do that studying the natural.
Of course,
world
you, that's
as
what
well.
The Rebbe is saying.
Right.
I'm saying that, but all I'm saying is that what the Svarim say is that awareness will come if you understand this not to be a hefsik from Hashem, just something that Hashem made, but a way that He's manifesting that it's actually Him. Right. If it's just from Him. It's something that He made. It's a rugula from Him. It's not going to bring to Avos. That's what I'm saying. I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying there has to be more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not concentrated. Much more. Yeah, but a much more, not powerful, much more immediate feeling of Him within it, not just a general knowledge that it's from Him. That's what I'm saying.
It's harder to do that when you're studying something that's not the... Notion, because that's what they're all about.
Yeah, I love it. That was great. I wish
sorry.
I would have recorded you doing that. Sfarma Kedoshim.
only because I don't use those words.
I know. It's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but Rebbe says so many times that it brings from Rav Kook when you're learning, you're supposed to stop and daven to say tefillah to make that connection. In other words, it's not so pushy to make the connection.
Your learning can't be empty. And
and Alter writes in Tanya Perek Mamav that every once in a while he's supposed to, every hour he's supposed to stop learning and remember.
Right.
Yeah, and Nefesh HaChaim went ballistic about that.
That's exactly what the Gemara in the Dharam is about, though.
And a chanami. It's
very easy to forget.
It takes a great person
to have that recognition.
Right, like you have to know what the whole thing is,
right? And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying.
Yeah.
By having affirmative cognition, then the negation is that much greater, right? And a chanami. That's why the Rambam says that in the negative cognition there are levels.
Otherwise,
when we spoke last week, that's what the Rambam says, that there are levels of negative cognition.
When I hear people say to me, "The Christmas is more money than God," and they don't understand.
You have more money than God. God doesn't have more money. God's got a pocket.
For what?
Or he's got a Swiss bank account.
all those sayings like associative